Okay, good evening. So, although generally we talk about what we call life in the Heights at this time, I looked at the calendar and I noticed that Pesach is coming soon, and I began to panic, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is like really scary, you know, the Passover holiday is upon us, so scream. But I figured that maybe we should discuss one or two brief topics related to Pesach tonight. And again, like I mentioned, unfortunately, I'm going to have to leave, or fortunately, whatever, I have to leave a few minutes earlier than usual, so it will be a briefer talk. There is a halacha that appears in Shulchan Aruch, right at the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. The Rama writes, the first source, Minhag liknos chitin l'chalkon la'aniyim l'tzorech Pesach v'chom yishadar ba'ir yud beis chodesh tzorech litin lazeh. There's a minhag to purchase wheat, to give it to the poor people, and anyone who's lived in the city for 12 months has to participate. This is a halacha, and it makes it to Shulchan Aruch. It's actually an important thing to do, to give what we call ma'os chitin, kimcha de piska, to give money, in the Shulchan Aruch time, it was to give wheat to the poor people. Now, a few questions. Usually, halachos to give money, where do they appear in Shulchan Aruch? Do they appear usually in the halachos of Pesach? Right, where do they usually appear? The halachos of tzedakah. The normal place where you would expect to find a law that you're supposed to give money to poor people would be the laws of tzedakah, right? But over here, it's found in the laws of Passover. Why? Why would that be?
It's related to Passover.
What?
Zecher
l'Korban. You gotta explain this one, Gila.
Well, just like when you give the Korban, if you, everyone had to be like chayv to eat some of the Korban Pesach, so now we can eat the Korban Pesach. But
interesting. So you're understanding that giving the money to the poor people is because, like, everyone has to contribute to the Korban Pesach, and this is kind of a replacement of some sort.
Well, specifically for wheat, it sounds like maybe they could, like, you know, instead of making bread, they make matzah.
Right, they're making matzah. So it's connected to matzah, maybe, but it's a little bit unusual. So there is a literature about everything in Judaism, and about this also there is a bit of a literature. I saw the same idea in two different sources. I saw it in Rav Bitzalo Jolti's book, which is called Mishnas Yabes. Rav Jolti was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim until the end of the 70s, basically, the early 80s. So he was a known figure. I heard from my father that Rabbi Ruderman, who was the Rosh Yeshiva of Ne'er Israel in Baltimore, at one point traveled to Yerushalayim, and he met all of the big rabbis in Yerushalayim because he felt that's what he should do. And he was most impressed by Rabbi Jolti. Now, the only reason why that's a really amazing story is because the other rabbis in Yerushalayim at that time were Rabbi Ovadi Yosef and Rabbi Shlomo Gorin. Like, when you think about it, Rav Ruderman was very impressed by Rav Jolti. Rav Jolti is known as being a tremendous lamdan. The same idea also appears in a book by Rabbi Shlomo Warman. Rabbi Warman is the late Rosh Yeshiva of Henk. He passed away a few years ago. They both developed the idea that giving money to the poor people for Pesach is not connected to the laws of tzedakah at all. Rather, they say, it is a halacha of Yom Tov. You know, the Rambam tells me that on Yom Tov, I'm not allowed to eat on my own. I have to invite guests in. Says the Rambam, if I spend the Yontov meal by myself and I don't have guests, that is not Simchas Yom Tov, that is Simchas Kreso. It is gustatory pleasure. It is the gut. It is not the joy of Yom Tov. Now, the basic idea goes that maybe the lesson of Yontov is if I want to be happy on Yontov, I want to fulfill my Yontov, I better make other people happy also. If I'm not making other people happy, I don't get my mitzvah. So the way Rav Zsolti and Rabbi Warman explain is that Ma'os Chitim is an opportunity for me to fulfill my mitzvah of Simcha by gladdening others. It's a little, right, interesting. Nice. But it's nice, it's elegant, there's something to it. Now, of course we'd have to ask the question, if it's really a halacha in Yom Tov, so shouldn't I have to give money to poor people before Shavuos and before Sukkot also? And if you're creative, before Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur? So, no one says that. But it could be that Pesach, especially, is a yontiv that has to do with showing compassion on others. Let me explain in two different ways. What does the word Pesach mean? U'pasach Hashem al ha-Pesach. Right? Well, how do you translate Pesach? Pei samach ches. Translate the word. So we learned in grade school it means pass over. Right? You know what's interesting? The official translation of Hebrew terms in the Pentateuch is written by a convert named Unkelus. And Unkelus translates the word upasach, right? The Targum Unkelus, the Aramaic translation, it's on the side of many Chumashim. Unkelus translates the word Pesach as Vichamal. God has compassion. Upasach Hashem al HaPesach, Unkelus writes, God had compassion and God did not kill the people in that hope. The word Pesach means compassion. It doesn't mean Passover as much as it means compassion. But I'll say something better. The Vilna Gaon has a famous comment. The Torah writes that before we left Egypt, we had to borrow clothing, gold and silver from the Egyptians, right? Remember that? Then we left and we're kind of wealthy when we left. It was like a good thing, good deal. Now, well, actually not such a good deal because we were working for them for like 210 years and they paid us nothing and then like we leave. But okay, you know what? It's something. It's something. Now, there are two psukim. One pasuk says, V'sha'alu mi Mitzrayim, that they should borrow from the Egyptians, klay chesef uklay zahav. They should borrow gold and silver from the Egyptians. There's another pasuk, however, that says, V'sha'alu ish me esrei ehu. Each person should borrow gold and silver from his friend. Comes along the Vilna Gaon, and the Vilna Gaon says, you know what? In Talmudic parlance, the word re'ehu means a Jew. Meaning, explains the Vilna Gaon, that the people borrowed gold and silver from other Jews. In other words, after Jew 1 would borrow from the Egyptians, Jew 2 would walk over to Jew 1 and say, Yankel, lend me that gold thing. And Yankel would lend it to him. Shterna, lend it to me. Right? They'd borrow from each other. And the Vilna Gaon comments that one of the things that happened as slaves is that we lost the ability to give to others. A slave only has the ability to say, give me, give me, give me. That's it. The slave has nothing. Halachically, the slave has nothing. Practically, the slave has nothing. We needed to gain the ability to give before we could go free. By the way, Rav Soloveitchik commented that the reason why the Pesach Seder begins with Halach Ma'anya, inviting guests in, it's a little bit strange, no? You sit down at the meal and you invite guests in. Hello, idiot! If you really want guests, you invite them 2 weeks ago. So Rav Soloveitchik said, no. The idea is because as slaves, we didn't have the capacity to invite others. When I sit down at the Seder, I am acknowledging my freedom, and my freedom is expressed by inviting other people to join me. So the idea is that part of being free is to give to others. And maybe Ma'os Chitim is an expression of our freedom. By giving money to the poor people before Pesach, what I am doing is I am expressing that I am free. It's an expression of freedom. I think that's an actually nice interpretation. It's a nice little twist on the idea of Ma'os Chitim and why it applies specifically to Pesach, Because Pesach is a yontiv when we overcome our slave mentality and we begin to give. But I want to say another idea, which I found in this book, Netivei HaMinhagim. My friend Shai Schechter, or Schechter's son, has this friend in Israel, Rabbi Eliakim Dvorkis, who just writes Svarim. The guy's like a super genius. Someone pays him money and like writes Svarim all day. So Shai gave me like some of his Svarim. He has really interesting things, this Rabbi Dvorkis. So Rabbi Dvorkis comments, he raises another question. Okay? Ma'os chitim. It says in Shulchan Aruch that you give wheat to the poor people. If you want to give poor people something, give them cash. Give them matzah. No? Here in the JCC, there's a matzah distribution, no? Give them matzah. Why are you giving them wheat?
So they can make it themselves and be agents instead of recipients.
Excellent. That's the idea that he develops. The idea is, right? The idea is that you want them to feel, again, I'm giving so that I feel like a giver. When they get, they don't feel like a giver. But if I get something and then I have to work at it, and I have to grind it and make flour, so then I am someone who's involved in the process, and it's my own thing. I can look at that matzah, and that matzah is not something that just came to me, and I feel guilty as a receiver. I'm someone who made it, someone who created it. It's my thing. Now, there are, the Rush in Shulchan Aruch is quoted that the Rush used to bake his own matzah. And they quote from many Kabbalah sources that there's tremendous things that happen when you bake your own matzah. If you sweat when you bake the matzah, it could forgive many different sins. It's supposed to be a tremendous thing. But I would argue that the real nice thing about baking your own matzah is that you're part of that process. And because you're part of that process, you don't feel like a recipient. You feel like you are someone who's giving. That is the idea. Now, of course, this question, by the way, as to whether Ma'os Chitim is fundamentally a law of tztaka, or fundamentally it's a halacha of Simchas Yontif, or maybe it's a halacha, not a Simchas Yontif, a special Pesach halacha to show freedom like we're trying to develop. But this idea of Ma'os Chitim and what makes it different than tztaka can also be seen in the following way. You know, the Mishnayos and Peah give us all the laws of tztaka. And the laws of tztaka are as follows. Someone who's in town, even a guest who's there for just one day, you're obligated to give that guest bread. So let's say it's Pesach, and a guest comes into town. You know what you have to give that guest? Matzah. A box of matzah. So why the heck do I have this halacha of Ma'os Chitim if I'm giving him matzah anyway? He's not going to starve. I'm giving him matzah.
Well, he just showed up.
So even if he just showed up, I have to give him matzah.
No, that's why you're giving him matzah.
Oh, so I give the guy who just showed up matzah. So a guy who shows up a day before Pesach, I give him matzah. I don't give him wheat until he's been in town, some say 30 days, some say 12 months. The idea is that people who are part of the community, I have a responsibility to make them feel like they're involved in it more. That, I think, is the lesson of Ma'os Chitim, again, as Rabbi Yochim Dvorkis notes. By the way, according to this, you know, in the halachos at tztaka, if someone is really poor, the person might not have to give. There might be a technical requirement to give one third of a shekel a year, no? Ma'os Chitim, it doesn't say that if you're poor, you don't have to give. Because the idea is that everyone has to feel like a giver. Everyone has to feel the idea of freedom that comes about through giving. Again, obviously there is much more to say about this. I just wanted to make a brief point on this. Yes, Yitzchak.
So we're three times tzedakah, though, we'll give out wheat instead of giving them...
So, we don't. But the idea of giving wheat is because we want them to feel independent. We want them to feel like they are making it themselves. That's why we give That's why we give the wheat. Most chitim that we mentioned is a very old practice. The Achronim quote that there's a source in the Yerushalmi. It's a very, very old idea, but the lesson of it, I think, is very interesting. Now, what would happen, by the way? This is a random question. Let's say you have somebody who's very frum. You know how expensive frum matzah is, by the way? You could buy matzah for $75 a pound easily. This stuff is gold, or more expensive than gold. The shmura matzahs. But you could buy them in key food for like $15, $20 a pound, right? Which is also not so cheap. But if you want to get the really expensive brisker matzahs with like 9 zillion hashgachas, so you have to give them, you have to give up like $75, $80 a pound. Question. Let's say there's somebody who wants super expensive matzah. Is there a responsibility of the community to give the super expensive matzah?
I don't think so.
Why not?
I think it's like a Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai type of thing. Like, it's not that it isn't halacha. Like, there's no right halacha. Like, ultimately, we don't know who was right. The idea is that, like, they recognize that the other person...
So you're saying that they're both correct. But you know what? There's a halacha in Hilchos Tzedakah called Dimach Sorasha Yechsacha. There's a halacha in Hilchos Tzedakah that you're supposed to give someone what they're missing. Let me just say this without bragging. My father does a lot of tzedakah stuff. My father's the head of a gemach in the five towns. They give loans. There was someone who lost his job a number of years ago, and the fellow used to drive a very expensive car. And he felt that he needed a new car for his own self-image. He needed a new, really expensive car. So the question that was asked to the Polskim, who received this gemach, is do they have to buy this guy a brand new Lexus, it was.
I think they're different, though. One is the fulfillment of a mitzvah, to say, oh, I need this matzah because I believe that this matzah
right.
is a fulfilled mitzvah. The other one's not a fulfilled, yes, I'm not embarrassing someone, not feeling embarrassed.
So you're arguing an interesting point. What you're saying is that the halach of dimach suro is something that I feel like I'm missing for social status. But if I'm missing it just for religious purposes, we say, you know what, take a deep breath, you really get the mitzvah the other way, you have a chumra, forget about your chumra. That's what you're saying.
We have to think about the what the resources are and what the other needs are.
So obviously the community has to figure out, but the Gemara says that there's a halacha in stuck of de machsoro, that if somebody needs a horse to ride on, or if you need a Lexus, you give it to him. Does the same apply to Ma'os Chitim? According to our analysis, absolutely not. Because our analysis is that Ma'os Chitim is not a halacha of tzedakah. If it would be a halacha of tzedakah, we could question maybe you have to buy expensive matzah for the guy. But it's not a halacha of tzedakah. It's a halacha of giving the person wheat. Make the person produce it on his own to feel. So you know what? If I give you wheat, and now you decide you want to make your matzah however you want to make it, gesunte hate, right? Do it however you want. I don't care. It's sort of a cop-out on some level, but I'm not giving you matzah. I'm not giving you the 75. I'm giving you wheat. And you decide... Okay. Again? Right, that's enough. Pasta. Yeah, you're fine.
So, what ended up with that case? What ended up with that case?
Again?
What did happen with Alexis?
They gave it to him.
They did. Did they have other Benim who could, say, get food or something to talk
about? No, I don't think so.
It wasn't a case where they...
No, in other words, I think they had enough money and they provided... Again, that the technical halacha in Stucca, by the way, is that you're supposed to... Vahashevo solo. You're supposed to return the person to himself. The person needs his dignity. I'm not giving you money. Right? And again, now I'm not saying that it's a good thing that someone only has his or her dignity by driving a fancy car. But if that's what it is, that's what you give them. That's what they need.
But you have people whose return to the dignity is that they get to have a partially reposed instead of fully reposed. A person whose dignity is a leftist would then be better to return to the person who's living without them.
Again, so the Chassam Sofer writes in Hilchos Tzedakah, the Chassam Sofer has a few tshuvas that, like, when we assess needs, obviously you have to take a bird's eye view. If there are people in town who are starving to death, they have a priority over the guy who needs a Lexus. Give. But let's say there's no one who's starving to death, right? And the community can afford it. So then the mitzvah of Tzedakah, by the way, this halach of De Machsoro is probably, Rav Soloveitchik used to speak about how there are two elements of the mitzvah of tzedakah. There's an individual mandate, pardon, and there's a communal mandate. No individual, this is the simple reading, no individual has a mitzvah to return the dignity for every poor person. That would be ludicrous.
Impossible.
Right? Again, in some theoretical cases, maybe, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is that the community has a mitzvah of tzedakah. President Ari Berman just gave a shiur in YU last week discussing Rav Soloveitchik's notion that tzedakah is a communal mitzvah, the same as it's an individual mitzvah. By the way, Rav Schechter always quotes that the Vilna Gaon has the following idea. Maybe I'll say this and we'll conclude with this because I have to go. But the pasuk of tzedakah is pasoach tiftach es yadcha, you open your hand. Why is that the pasuk of tzedakah? So the Vilna Gaon said, you know what happens when I open my hand? I notice that I have fingers of different sizes. Right? We all have fingers of different sizes. The idea is that the real mitzvah of tzedakah is you assess the needs and you give the pinky what the pinky needs. Right? You give each finger, each person what they need. You don't give the same amount. If someone is giving the same 50 cents or $500 or $5,000, to everybody who knocks on the door, that's not tzedakah.
It's not good judgment either.
It's, but, yes, but it's also not, the real mitzvah of tzedakah is pasoach tiftach es yadcha, you open your hand.
Okay.
Open your hand means you assess the needs. You have to figure out, by the way, these are real challenges on the communal level.
Yeah.
Right? What are considered needs? I can tell you in this community there are real needs. There are people who are struggling financially. There are people who would financially be okay, but they had some medical issue that came up. There are people who, you know, fertility treatments are extremely expensive. Does the community have a responsibility to that? Is that part of the tzedakah angle? I would say yes, actually. Because I think for people, that's what they need, right? And insurance often doesn't pay for these things. Right, these are very complicated questions on the communal level, but let's think about them. Again, I apologize, I have to leave early, but I promised while you I was giving a shiur tonight. So, thank you very much.